Ever get that feeling, like just a little tremor, makes you wonder if the ground actually moved or if it was all in your head?
Yeah, like a mini earthquake.
Right. Well, in Mộc Châu, Vietnam, back in July of 2020, they didn't have to wonder. They got a much clearer message from Mother Earth, a whole sequence of earthquakes.
And for scientists, it was a really unique opportunity. I mean, this wasn't just any earthquake sequence. This one gave them a look, a real glimpse into how earthquakes work in Vietnam.
Because they had the technology in place for the first time.
Exactly. It was perfect timing, really. They
Yeah.
had just gotten this new seismic network up and running, a high-tech one, and boom, this sequence hits.
Like the Earth knew we were finally watching, finally paying attention.
Maybe.
But let's take it back for a second. Let's go to July 27th, 2020 in Mộc Châu.
Beautiful region.
It is mountainous. And then wham, a magnitude 5 earthquake hits. And as if that wasn't enough, people are catching their breath, and then a 4.1 aftershock, followed by a 4.4, and then even more, just a cascade of smaller tremors.
Yeah, and you might think, okay, magnitude 5, that's not great, but it's not the end of the world, right? But the thing is, there was more damage than anyone expected.
More than a magnitude 5 should cause.
Right, we're talking about like cracks in walls, bricks falling, even some roofs caving in. It really makes you think about how some buildings are just not equipped to handle even these, what we might call moderate earthquakes, at least on the magnitude scale.
It really shows those vulnerabilities. So it's more than just, oh, there was an earthquake. It's about the bigger picture here.
Yeah, definitely. Because to really get a sense of the impact, you can't just look at the magnitude. You have to think about the intensity too, which basically tells you how strongly people feel the shaking in a specific spot.
So, like the same earthquake, different parts of, say, Mộc Châu could experience it very differently.
Absolutely. Different intensities depending on the soil, how far away they are from that fault line, all kinds of factors. And speaking of getting up close and personal, the Institute of Geophysics in Vietnam, they did some really cool detective work right after all this
On
happened.
the ground there.
Yeah, they sent out teams to actually talk to people, hear about what they felt during the earthquakes, you know, get those firsthand accounts. And they got 95 responses from people within a 60-kilometer radius of where the earthquake started.
Wow, that's dedication.
Yeah, it's amazing. And from that, they made what we call an isoseismal map.
It sounds intimidating.
It's just a map, but it shows the zones of shaking intensity. So, like a heat map, but for earthquakes.
Okay, that makes sense.
And get this, the zones of strongest shaking, they weren't a perfect circle around that center point like you might expect.
Really?
Yeah, it was this elongated pattern, almost like, well, some people call it a seismic sausage, stretching out in a line.
A seismic sausage, okay.
Yeah.
What's that telling us, though? I mean, why a line?
Well, that line follows a very specific path, the Da River Fault, which is a major player in the world of, you know, Vietnamese tectonics, and the main suspect behind all this shaking.
Okay, the Da River Fault, I've heard of that. Remind me, what's the story with this particular fault line?
So picture this, two huge pieces of the Earth's crust pushing against each other. That's the Da River Fault. And that kind of pressure, well, it's bound to cause some tremors.
It's a recipe for an earthquake. So how does it work? What's happening at the fault line?
It's what we call a strike slip fault, which means the two sides are sliding past each other horizontally.
Like when you rub your hands together to warm them up.
Kind of, yeah, except imagine it on a massive scale with rocks and immense pressure.
And that friction causes the earthquakes.
Exactly. And that's where this new seismic network comes in. The data it was able to capture, it allowed scientists to confirm that this is what was happening, that the Day River Fault was the culprit, so to speak.
They had a hunch because of where the earthquake was, but they needed the data to be sure.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they had a pretty good idea based on the isoseismal map and all that. But like you said, they needed proof. And this new network, well, it gave them the data they needed to really dig into the
The
nitty-gritty.
nitty-gritty being.
The seismic waves themselves, think about it, those waves, they're like fingerprints. Each earthquake's got its own, leaving clues about where and how it all went down.
So, like, what were they looking for in those seismic fingerprints? I mean, how did they connect the dots back to the Da River Fault?
So they used a bunch of different techniques. Like one of the key things they looked at was the direction those waves were traveling in, whether they were being pushed or pulled, that kind of thing. And
What told them?
that the movement in Mộc Châu, it was horizontal, which matched up perfectly with what you'd expect from a strike slip fault, like our friend the Da River Fault.
Yeah.
It's like earthquake forensics. piecing together the clues from those waves.
Exactly. And it's not just about where the earthquake starts. It's about how the ground breaks and moves during the whole thing, you know?
Right. And how those movements leave their mark on the seismic waves, like a signature.
Totally. But there's another layer to this. Most earthquakes in this region, they're actually a different type. They're caused by what we call thrust faults, which is when one part of the Earth's crust is pushing up over another, kind of like a ramp.
Okay, so most earthquakes in Vietnam are like that. But this Mach Chao one, it was the strike slip kind.
Exactly. This one was different, which actually makes it even more valuable to scientists because, you know, they have this data on a less common type of earthquake in the region now.
It's like finding a rare bird, but for earthquakes.
Haha, yeah, kind of. But they didn't just stop there. They took those seismic waves and they dove even deeper to figure out how the ground itself shook during those quakes.
Because an earthquake happens, and then what?
Yeah.
It's how the ground reacts that really matters.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's what affects people and buildings.
100%. And that's where those ground motion attenuation models come in, or GMPEs for short, which I know sounds complicated, but...
GMPEs. Try saying that 5 times fast. So... What are they?
They're like tools that help us estimate how strong the ground shaking will be at a certain distance from an earthquake.
So like a seismic forecast.
Yeah, but instead of telling you when and where, it's about how much the ground's going to shake in different places, which is super useful for figuring out building codes and preparing for disasters and all that.
That makes a lot of sense. So did they have those models already for Vietnam?
They did have some, but here's the thing. When they really started looking at it, they realized that the ones they were using... Well, they weren't really a good fit for this region.
It's like trying to use a map of a different city to navigate Yucatan. You might eventually find your way, but it's going to be confusing.
Exactly. So they took all that incredible data from the Mach Chao earthquake, and they used it to test out a bunch of different GMPEs, 8 to be precise, to see which one fit best for northern Vietnam.
8 different models. That's like trying on shoes to find the perfect fit.
That's a great way to put it. And you know what? They actually found one that fit really well, a model called CH20, which, funnily enough, was developed in Taiwan.
No way. So even though they're miles apart, Taiwan and Vietnam, they share some earthquake style.
It seems that way. But the story doesn't end there. Remember how we were talking about how earthquake magnitude and intensity are different?
Yeah, different parts of Mach Chao felt those earthquakes differently.
Right, so it turns out the type of ground beneath our feet, it plays a huge role in how much we feel that shaking.
So like bedrock versus something else, what's the difference?
It's kind of like imagine building a house on sand versus building it on solid rock. Same earthquake, but totally different outcomes, right? So scientists use this technique called horizontal to vertical spectral ratio, or HVSR for short, to basically see what the ground is made of, like giving the Earth a CT scan.
Okay, an Earth CT scan. So what did they find when they scanned Vietnam? What's under the surface there?
Turns out northern Vietnam, it's got a real mix of different soil types. It's not all the same.
So different parts of Mach Chao are sitting on different kinds of ground, and that affects how they experience an earthquake.
You got it. And that's why this HVSR analysis is so important. It's like having a roadmap of which areas are most vulnerable to strong shaking, no matter how big or small the earthquake is.
It's all connected. The fault, the ways, the ground we stand on.
Wow.
So we've got the downriver fault, the search for a more accurate ground motion model, and then this whole other layer of the Earth's makeup. Earthquakes are complicated.
It really makes you think, you know, this earthquake, it was pretty middle of the road magnitude-wise, but it was a real eye-opener. It showed us that we got to be thinking about more than just how strong an earthquake is.
It's not just about the magnitude, like you said before.
Right. It's about the shaking, the kind of dance it makes the ground do, and what that means for different places depending on what's under the surface.
Because what's down below... It really matters.
Yeah.
Like those houses we were talking about, one on solid ground, one on the sandy stuff, same earthquake, totally different experience.
Exactly. And that's why this whole thing, it highlights how important it is to build smart. Mm-hmm. Building codes, infrastructure, it all needs to be planned with those local conditions in mind.
So not just strong buildings, but buildings that are like tailor-made for the kind of earthquakes that are most likely to hit.
Exactly. And we wouldn't know any of this, not really, without those earthquakes happening and the data that came from them. This Mach Chao sequence, it's a treasure trove of information, and not just for scientists, for everyone, really, anyone who lives where earthquakes are a thing.
It's a reminder, isn't it, that we need to keep learning, keep studying, keep our eyes open and our ears to the ground.
100%. Knowledge really is power. The more we know about how earthquakes work, why they happen the way they do, the better prepared we can be.
We can make smarter choices, build safer communities, and maybe even, I don't know, feel a little less afraid when the ground starts shaking. Because it's not just about surviving the earthquake, it's about knowing how to live with it, you know?
Well said. It's about coexisting with our planet, respecting its power, but also understanding it.
And on that note, I think we've done a pretty good job unpacking this Mok Chau earthquake sequence. We've gone from those first tremors all the way to the soil beneath our feet.
It's been a journey, for sure, but an important one.
Absolutely. For all you deep divers out there, thanks for joining us on this adventure into the world of earthquakes, faults, and ground motion. And remember, the Earth's always got something to teach us if we're willing to listen. Keep exploring, everyone.